I want to really look at the opening few verses just of 2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. We'll read the first three again together, verses 1, 2 and 3 of 2 Kings 5. We read there, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" In 1855, there was a young man who was raised in an apostate church, who then began to attend a Bible-believing church in Boston. He attended the services and also the Sunday school. He was a country boy. He didn't have much education, but he decided he would move to the big city of Boston to make his fortune. On one day, an individual from the church in Boston, the Bible-believing church, he came to that young man and he urged upon him his need of salvation. And that young man was gloriously saved. However, the young man, being raised in apostasy, was extremely ignorant of even some of the most basic Bible truths. But nonetheless, and after his conversion, he decided, "Well, I have heard the gospel in this church in Boston. I'm going to apply to become a member of this church." At his interview, he was asked a simple question. "Young man, what has Christ done for you, which entitles him to your love?" He struggled for a moment. He scratched his head. He said, "I don't know. I know that Christ has done a great deal for us, but I don't think of anything particular at this present time." Hardly an impressive start for this young Christian. One of the men who interviewed him that day, he said, "I think the eldership of the church seldom met an applicant for membership who seemed more unlikely ever to become a Christian of clear and decided views of gospel truths, still less to fill any space of public or extended usefulness." They watched the young man develop at an extremely slow rate. And after a little while, one of the elders in the church, they came to the young man and he said to him, "Well, why don't you just take a simple course that will teach you basic Bible truths." He did this course for a year. And then after a year, he came before the eldership to be interviewed again. They interviewed him again. They saw some progress, but they also noticed that he was barely literate and could barely read his Bible, and his grammar was atrocious. However, because of his sincerity, they decided to accept him into membership. Over the years, people looked at that young man and they would have thought, "There's a young man that really has no outward talent. There is a young man that God could never really use in a miraculous way." The name of that young man was D.L. Moody. You see, D.L. Moody, he became a most unlikely evangelist in the most unlikeliest of circumstances. And you know, as you enter into 2 Kings chapter 5, you're met by a little maid, and we could call her, just like D.L. Moody, an unlikely evangelist in the most unlikeliest of circumstances. She is simply described as a little maid. We don't even know her name. At this time, Syria had been at war with Israel. And Naaman, along with his armies and his forces, what did they do? Well, they took a little maid. And they took her from her hometown, her home place, her home country in Israel. And they then deported her to Syria, really as a prisoner of war. There she was on foreign soil in the country of Syria. Naaman, however, he had a deadly disease. We are told in these verses that Naaman, he was a leper. And here was this little maid. She was taken far away from home. She was taken far away from her family. She was taken far away from her parents, who would have nurtured her in the fear and admonition of the God of Jehovah. And yet here she is, and she's faithfully waiting. She is faithfully biding her time. The Bible tells us here, she waits on Naaman's wife. And after a little while, she just drops in. A little gospel witness. She said to Naaman's wife, would that he was with the prophet that was in Samaria. In other words, she was simply saying this. She was saying, I know someone who can completely cure this incurable disease of leprosy. And I would God that Naaman would go and be cleansed of that disease. And like this maid, although you might feel small and even substandard, yet God still wants you to speak. He wants you to speak for Him in difficult times. Wonder this morning, like this little maid, do you feel yourself in a difficult situation, a predicament? Do you find the place that you work, it's hard to be a Christian? The place where you're educated, your school, perhaps even your home? Well, take courage from this young girl. Here was this young girl. She's completely away from all that is precious to her, her family, the house of God that was near her, and yet she bides her time, and she speaks a word in season. And the Lord uses that small word in a most miraculous way. And Naaman, at the end of these verses that we have read together, we find Naaman was recovered of his leprosy. Oh, child of God, how encouraging for you this morning that as the Lord used this little maid as a most unlikely evangelist in most unlikely circumstances, that if He could do that with this little maid, and He can take Moody and He can make him a tremendous evangelist, then there is no telling what the Lord can do with your life and with mine. Oh, if we would but like this maid be faithful. And be patient. And be developed in the school of Christ. Then there's no telling what the Lord can do with you. And so this morning I simply want to consider an unlikely maid with a unique message. An unlikely maid with a unique message. I want you to see with me firstly the maid's position. Her position. Verse 2. We read the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. The phrase here, going out by companies or gone out by companies, it really refers to the Syrian armies being sent out in companies or troops by 100 or 200. What would happen was, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria at that time, well, he would send out his armies. They would go into differing lands. And of course, they went to Israel, one of the neighboring countries. And they would do this. They would go to a little village or a small town, and they would raid those villages or towns, and they would plunder them, and they would take everything, and indeed everyone, out of that place. They would rob the poor. They would steal things like grain and even animals. And this little maid, well, she was caught up in the midst of it all. Here was the Syrians, they're going out and they're rampaging her local town or her local village, whatever, wherever she was. And we read here that she was taken away captive. She was essentially a prisoner of war. Now, the fact that it calls her little, that suggests this morning that she was quite young. It's not really a reference to her size, it's a reference to her age. I suggest to you that this would have been a young girl, probably still living at home. And yet, we find that she is taken away captive. She is now in desperate and difficult circumstances. However, how did she react to this? Well, she simply was faithful. She served the Lord. And we find that the Lord had His good hand of protection over her. And although she was away from the temple worship, and she was now in a pagan land, and she was away from the protection even of her family, the Lord had His hand upon her. And she was enabled by the Lord to speak to Naaman's wife concerning Elisha. And although we might be in difficult places, yet we can still make a difference. You can make an impression for God wherever He places you. Maybe you feel this morning like the maid. You feel like you've been taken captive. Maybe you feel that, spiritually speaking, the place that you are, your workplace, whatever it might be, your university, your school, that it's maybe just like a prison. I know it's so difficult. But remember this, as the Lord had His hand upon this little maid, as she was taken away, probably hundreds of miles, away from her hometown, so the Lord, He will have His hand upon you. Whenever you're a child of His, then you can take heart that you will be protected by the Lord and given opportunity. You can make a difference. Whether it be in one individual's life, like this little maid, or even with many individuals. Again, you think of Joseph. There was a young man who was faithful to the Lord. He didn't lie with Potiphar's wife when she tried to tempt him. Yet what was the result of all that? He was thrown into prison. He was imprisoned. Unlike the little maid, he could have developed a bitter spirit. He could have been angry even with God. Yet, what do we read? Well, in Genesis 40, verse 4, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And there the baker and butler, they were given to the jurisdiction of Joseph. And we read that he served them there. He served them. He ministered to them. He made a difference in spite of the difficulty that he was faced with. And whether it be easy or whether it be hard, the Lord still wants you to help. He still wants you to help and make a difference. So often, believers, they say, well, it's too hard. I'm in difficult surroundings. It's too difficult. Can I really make a difference where the place where the Lord has placed me in? And you can take heart this morning. What a difference. What a difference to the life this little maid was to Naaman. And even the blessing that we're going to see to his wife as well. Know what a difference you can make. If you're faithful, living for the Lord, walking in the Spirit, desiring to go on with God and be faithful and not grumble and complain about the difficult circumstances that you face. Rather, you be used of God and be useful for Him. You know, David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa in the 1840s. One day a lion sprung upon him. He nearly lost part of his arm. But you know, as soon as Livingstone was well enough, people were saying to him, you should come home, you can't really go on. The circumstances that you have, there's no way that you can continue on in the mission field. But he continued on. He persevered. He ploughed many a furrow in Africa. He served despite difficulty. Here's the maid. This was her position. She was taken captive. Taken away from her homeland in Syria. And yet she waited in Naaman's wife. Her position. I want you to see secondly here the maid's patience. We've already alluded to it, but in verse 2 we read that she waited on Naaman's wife. The word waited here, it simply means to serve. This little maid, she, as we've already said, she's now in a foreign country. And she could have been bitter. And you could have forgiven her for that. You imagine it. Here's Naaman. He's the captain of the army. He is the one who is in charge. And here's this little maid. And she's placed in his very home. You could perhaps have forgiven this little maid to be angry, to be embittered against this family in particular, as well as the Syrians in general. Undoubtedly, there were individuals who perhaps had been dealt a far more difficult lot than she was dealt with. There would have been individuals perhaps placed in prison camps or the equivalent of them today. Or they would have been made to be slaves and so on and so forth. You could have forgiven her for being extremely bitter. Yet what do we read that this little maid did? We read that she waited on Naaman's wife. She served Naaman's wife. The very people who took her away as a slave from her homeland, she served Naaman's wife. even those perhaps who were giving her a difficult time. She served faithfully, she served obediently, she served humbly, she would have undoubtedly won their confidence. And after winning their confidence and exhibiting a godly character, the spirit of the one who is meekness and who is gentleness, then she would have got her opportunity after waiting in Naaman's wife and being patient. We then read that she just sort of slips it in there. Would God that Naaman would be with Elisha in Samaria. And it was her faithfulness and her patience in the midst of the difficult circumstances that she faced that I believe personally gave her the opportunity to make to witness for the Lord. She served to speak. And when speaking for Christ, you are to be patient, not pushy. You are to wait patiently for your opportunity. You know, there are times when the enemy, they make life very, very difficult for Bible-believing Christians. And it's very easy to, as I've already said, be bitter. And it's very easy to be harsh. And it's very easy to react in a manner that is not befitting of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet, this maid is showing you something this morning. That whenever you are patient, whenever you serve perhaps those who are unservable, and you love perhaps those who are unlovable, then the Lord grants you an opportunity. The Lord grants you one of those golden opportunities to witness for Him. Sometimes you might have the tendency to blame God and even get angry with Him and harbour bitterness instead of realising that God is teaching you patience perhaps through all of the difficulties that you're facing. And He's showing you like this little maid that whenever you wait on someone and you have that stickability and you have that gentleness and that meek spirit, then that's the very thing that perhaps wins the person. That's the very thing that either wins them to Jesus Christ or even that gives you an opportunity that you would never have had. Proverbs 25 verse 15 tells us, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded. The thought here is of a hasty prince or king. And he's an angry despot. And he's coming around and he's giving his subjects and his servants this order and that order. And he's really quite hard to put up with. By long forbearing. The thought here then is of the servant being forbearing. Putting up with it, being faithful. And then when the opportunity comes, a soft tongue breaketh the bone. You know as well as I do that bone is extremely hard. It's extremely hard. It's very hard to break. Yet, when you're forbearing, when you have that spirit of meekness and gentleness, then it's like, the word that you say, it's like breaking a bone. It's like breaking a hard and a toughened individual. You see, it may take you serving an individual before you can then speak to that individual, to serve them patiently and lovingly and even forbearingly. Oh, this morning, I trust that you have this type of spirit. This is the type of spirit that you need. If you're going to be effective, if you're going to be an effective Christian in this dark and in this perverse generation of where we are placed today, we're going to need this spirit of forbearance. This spirit of taking things at times. So easy to lash out, and it's so easy to try and perhaps even clear your name. Or even in a right way, clear the rights of Jesus Christ. But the Bible's showing you here that there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it, to be patient. Because by long forbearing, the prince is persuaded. General Booth once received a letter from one of his officers lamenting that he saw very little fruit in his preaching. He said to General Booth, "What's your advice? What am I to do? I'm seeing very little happening." Booth's response was this, two words, "Try tears." Try tears. Oh, child of God, have you that spirit of compassion this morning? Have we that spirit of compassion for our land, for our nation, even for our city? That spirit of forbearance, that spirit of waiting, that spirit of serving, And then when the opportunity comes, and they see the authentic Christianity in you, then speak a word in season for Christ. The maid's position, the maid's patience. I want you to see thirdly here the maid's proclamation. Verse 3, we read, she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Naaman, the man whose wife she was serving, had the terrible disease of leprosy. Now, there are many positive things about Naaman that we could say about him. In verse 1, he's giving a glowing report in terms of his character even, and also in terms of his activity as a leader in the army. Verse 1 tells us he was a great man with his master, and honourable. So here was a man who could be trusted. Here was a man that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he trusted him. He was a man of honour. He was a great man. Turn towards the end of that verse, he is described as a man of valour, a man of strength, a man of courage. So here was a good soldier. Here was a good commander-in-chief. Here was a good officer. And yet, for all of his positive attributes, and for all of his positive character traits, yet we simply read, "But he was a leper." That's a big but, isn't it? But he was a leper. It seems to just brush past all that has already been said about him. But he was a leper. And it's as if the Holy Spirit is emphasizing this truth. Oh, he had all these positive qualities, but he was a leper. In Bible times, leprosy really was a terminal illness. And it would have taken a miracle for a leper to be cured. That's why in the book of Leviticus, there is such an extensive procedure for an individual to be pronounced clean. Why the blood had to be shed and the turtle doves and so on. And the priest had to pronounce them clean from head to toe. Because really, it was an absolute miracle if anybody was to be cleansed of leprosy. And this woman, this little maid, she knows this. But she also knows that there's a man in Samaria, prophet of God, and the anointing of God is upon him. And he has a double portion of the Spirit of God. And he has seen miracles already happen. He has seen a dead child raised to life. Oh, he has seen other things, tremendous things happen. He has seen a cursed city be completely transformed. The city of Jericho. And so she simply says this. Would God, would to God that Naaman, that he was there in Samaria. And look at the certainty that she has in this verse, verse 3. For he would recover him of his leprosy. She is dead on certain that if only Naaman would get to Elisha, that he would recover him of his leprosy. And so what a proclamation. She spoke of the one who could miraculously cure him of his deadly disease. And Christ doesn't want us to be silent. Christ wants you to speak. To speak of the unique one who can cleanse from sin. You see, sin, just like the physical disease of leprosy, it is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter a person's advantages, their attitudes, their attributes. Sin is a deadly disease. And this whole world, and you individually, we have all been, as it were, impacted and infiltrated by the deadly disease of sin. And the only antidote for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. However, individuals need to hear of this. They need to be told of this. They need to be told that whilst sin is a spiritual disease, there is a spiritual cure. There is one who can cleanse from all sin, Jesus Christ. And I wonder, child of God, this morning, like this little maid, are you not only being patient and forbearing and loving and faithful, but then when the time comes, are you using the time wisely, redeeming the time whilst the days are evil, and are you then speaking a word in season? Are you actually then proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, whilst individuals are drawn to the loveliness of Christ by your life, an individual is never saved simply by looking at a Christian and viewing them and seeing their faithfulness. No, it is ultimately the message of the gospel, hearing the message of the gospel, that an individual is saved. And so whilst the life, your life might draw them perhaps to a meeting or draw them to circumstances where they hear the gospel, individuals still need to hear the gospel. They still need, as it were, like that little maid, would that you would be with Jesus Christ who could cleanse you from all sin. Some years ago, in a church in England, they were serving out the Lord's Supper. But they were doing it in a slightly different way than we would do it. They basically had one goblet, and someone would take the goblet, the wine in the goblet, they would take it, they would then wipe where they had supped the cup, and then they would pass it on. That's the practice in some churches still today. And this was the practice in a church. And so that the goblet was taken of wine, an individual, they drank the wine, and then they passed it on. However, the officers of the church had got round about half of the congregation in this one church, and one person took it, began to drink it and kept drinking it and wouldn't pass it on. And he kept drinking it until there was none left. Child of God, this morning, so often is that not the case with the gospel? We drink it in. We drink it in. We love the gospel and we love Jesus Christ, the one who is the sum and substance of the gospel. But we never pass it on. We keep it for ourselves. Oh, here's this maid. And what does she do? She simply passes it on. She passes on the message that Elisha can cleanse from all of this man's leprosy. The maid's position, her patience, her proclamation. Lastly and quickly, I want you to see her pleasure. We're going to deal with this next week in greater detail, but just look at verse 4. Just for a few moments, we read there of one, Naaman went in, told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." When the maid spoke of Naaman, spoke of Elisha rather, to Naaman's wife, his wife listened to all that she had to say. I want you to get that. His wife was the one who was listening. It wasn't actually Naaman directly. No, it was this man's wife. And she then witnessed essentially to Naaman's wife. And Naaman's wife then obviously, she passed on the message to Naaman himself. So the wife actually listened. Now that is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. If you stop there and think about it, it was an incurable disease. There was no human cure. And yet this wife simply believed it. And she then passed it on to her husband. And then as you read on down through the verses, eventually the command is given. Interestingly, the command is given by a servant of Elisha's, not given by Elisha himself, to then go and to wash in the Jordan and so on. And then Naaman was eventually cleansed. But I want you to really get a hold of this. She had the pleasure of seeing individuals listen. And the end result was that the message was passed on, and Naaman ultimately was cleansed of his leprosy. Although all may not listen, the Lord has purposed that some will listen, that some will be receptive to the truth of the gospel. Oh, the Bible tells us there in 2 Thessalonians that all men have not faith. All men have not faith. But of course, the precursor to that is that some men do have faith. And the Lord has purposed to save a people in this world. And he has also purposed that it is through the communication of the gospel that that people are indefinitely saved. So he has purposed that some will listen, that some will be saved, and some then will be amongst that great throng that we've already been singing. There, whenever the Lord returns, and there will be individuals sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem. And they will be praising the Lord. Oh, this morning, how encouraging. That maybe perhaps there are individuals and you think they wouldn't listen. But they will listen, perhaps. And maybe perhaps it may not affect them personally. But they can then pass it on. And eventually, the gospel, there is this snowball effect with it. And individuals are gloriously swept into the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom of heaven on earth is extended, is progressed. Oh, how encouraging for you this morning, in your individual circumstances, wherever you might be, and it's hard and it's difficult. I tell you this morning, keep going. Be patient. Be forbearing. Have that spirit of meekness. And when the opportunity comes, you take it and you grasp it with both hands. Ere the Lord might use it. Use you in a way that you never saw fit. To the cleansing. On the salvation. Of precious souls. Hudson Taylor, as he looked back over 30 years of ministry in China, and he had seen much done in China, 600 missionaries respond to his burden and vision. He had seen much of China, at least evangelized with the gospel. He said this, God chose me because I was weak enough. He trained someone to be quiet enough and little enough. And then he uses them. I think that sums up this little maid so perfectly. Here was a little maid, quiet enough and meek enough and little enough. And God used her in a miraculous way. An unlikely maid with a unique message. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts this morning.